Jacksonville. Listen local.
Live from Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the Local Edition. I'm your host, Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight. Coming up, we're going to give you a little preview of the debate between Lou Ingracia and Paula Kay in New York's 100th Assembly District. This debate was conducted by Catskills News and Mid-Hudson News. It debuted this past Sunday, and on Friday morning, we'll be playing it here on Radio Catskill for the first time. But right now, however, it is time to get into tonight's main presentation. Election coverage continues here on Radio Catskill with our extended interviews with local candidates. Tonight and tomorrow night, we are bringing you the two candidates that are trying to represent New York's 19th Congressional District. New York 19 stretches from Tompkins County in the west all the way to Columbia County east of the Hudson, a massive swath of the Empire State that includes parts of the Catskills, Hudson Valley, Southern Tier, and Finger Lakes regions. Incumbent Congressman Mark Molinaro, who has a background in public service as a former mayor and Dutchess County executive, now faces a rematch in this 2024 election against Democrat Josh Riley, Harvard-educated attorney and former congressional aide. Their 2022 contest was tightly fought, with Molinaro securing a narrow victory. Tonight we meet Representative Mark Molinaro, a Republican who has represented New York's 19th Congressional District for the last 2 years. Congressman Molinaro recently spoke with Radio Catskill's Patricio Rubio on local issues, setting the stage for another closely watched race.
First and foremost, let me tell you, it's been a real honor and privilege to represent this part of New York in Congress. You mentioned, you know, I've spent every day of my adult life working and living in New York, upstate New York, and trying, by the way, to get government to actually support and respect the people it serves. We live in, and I am thrilled and honored to represent a part of the state that knows, you know, what it's like to see families leave because of high cost of living, businesses leave, employers leave. Sadly, the burdens of property taxes. I pay my property taxes. I got to pay sky high Central Hudson bills. So we're raising our four kids in Catskill and trying to make sure that we get into soccer practice. And you'll find me at the Hannaford or the Sam's Club, like everyone else, just trying to ensure that our community is a place that respects and appreciates the people that live here. And quite frankly, it's what I've done in Congress, trying to make this federal government respect upstate New York. Over the course of the last 4 years, we've shouldered the highest burden of inflation. I mean, massive federal spending. When the Democrats controlled both the House, Senate, and the White House, you know, they authorized $5 trillion of your money to be spent in lots of different ways. Some of it really critically important. I support, for instance, the CHIPS and Science Act, want to invest in infrastructure. But in other ways, that spending drove up costs, significantly drove up costs. And we're all shouldering the burden of that. Everything is more expensive and our dollar doesn't go as far as it used to. And families and farmers and small businesses are pinched because of it. I know it and I live it. Additionally, though, what we saw when President Biden took office is they adopted my opponent, Washington, D.C. lawyer Josh Riley's border playbook. He sued in the Supreme Court 23 times on the side of dismantling border security. And because of it, we saw this administration allow 8.5 million individuals into this country. And it does have an impact. It has an impact on services. It's not fair to communities to be overwhelmed in that way. We've seen, obviously, the crisis in New York City because of sanctuary city policies in New York. We've shouldered a large amount of cost for individuals who, quite frankly, should have to go through the appropriate asylum process before entering the country. But that has put such a burden and really has created such a crisis that here we are 4 years later, you know, having to contend with it. And so for me, I've spent the last year and a half listening to and learning from the people I represent, Republican and Democrat. I'm the second most bipartisan member of Congress, the fifth most productive member of the House and Senate, because I work with anybody, Republican or Democrat, when it comes to trying to solve the problems that face America and face the communities I serve. What is important now, you know, is that our communities and our families are respected, that we work to drive down cost, we ensure that we're securing the border, and that ultimately we're providing for public safety.
If you could continue a little bit more on that, what would you say are the most pressing issues facing the 19th congressional district today?
Yeah, I think cost of living, we start with cost of living. Listen, you know, as I say, I pay high prices to Central Hudson. I'm a customer. I know energy costs have gone up, both because of American energy policy, outsourcing and buying, products from countries that don't like us very much, to the regulations that New York State has consistently allowed these rates to continue to rise. Cost of groceries. As I said, we have four kids. We're buying the same big boxes of cereal and getting less inside the box. You know, the family size bag of chips doesn't feel like it's a family size bag of chips anymore, but you're paying twice as much. So it's cost of living. And when you add that on top of the rate of inflation and the inflationary, the highest rate of inflation in 40 years forced on us by reckless spending. When you add all of that on top of the high property taxes that New York State forces down onto New York 19 residents, we shoulder the highest burden of taxation and among the highest combined costs of any communities in the country. And what that demands is somebody who understands that you got to be responsible with people's dollars. You have to drive down taxes for middle-class families, which is why I supported the bipartisan tax relief package we adopted this year in the House, which would provide meaningful middle-class tax relief and expand the child tax credit to provide real relief for families. So cost of living remains number one. You know, can you pay your way? Can you at the dining room table, you're worried about groceries, you're worried about making ends meet, driving down costs is a priority. Public safety is as well. And that's linked to border security. And so we have a scenario where this administration, again, my opponent, 23 times before the United States Supreme Court arguing to dismantle border security. 20 years, a lawyer down in Washington, D.C. He worked for Senator Al Franken on a mass amnesty bill, worked to surrender the southern border. And because of it, we see crime in communities rising and burden on communities. And that has affected New York 19 in two really meaningful ways. You see not only the New York City taking your taxpayer dollars to house individuals who should have gone through an asylum process before they were put up at the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City, but also New York City transporting them upstate. It's why I joined with the Congressman Pat Ryan, Democrat, in calling on President Biden to declare a state of emergency to reestablish the protections that were in place when he took office. And to end the sanctuary policies that New York City was engaged in, which resulted in your tax money transporting people to upstate New York. And so you have that sort of challenge on us, which has caused real burden, real concern. But then we wake up 3 weeks ago to a Peruvian gang leader committed 23 murders in Peru, escaped prison in Peru, came to the southern border, was arrested thanks to the policy that Josh Riley argued for in court, prosecutorial discretion. This administration chose not to keep that individual arrested and instead released him and then transported him, ultimately ending up in Endicott, New York, in the southern tier of this district. 23 murders. He's living with his girlfriend who was engaged in a lot of those crimes, living freely in Endicott, New York. We shouldn't have to worry about that. Public safety as it relates to border security and public safety as it relates to the policies that came out of New York. Cashless bail has made us less safe and has tied the hands of law enforcement. I have a long history of working in local government on prevention and intervention and really trying to help people who we can intervene with early get back on their feet. Cashless bail makes it impossible for law enforcement to provide for community safety and ultimately hurts both victims and the community as a whole. We need a voice who's going to stand up against that. We need somebody who's going to push back against those kind of policies. So I work with law enforcement, support law enforcement, and work with our communities to invest in the tools necessary to prevent incidents of crime. The last thing I'll just tell you is I obviously live in and have for my entire life upstate New York, just creating opportunity, making sure that we have a focus on driving down the cost of housing. So we need obviously to drive up housing stock, right? Build more house, restore restore and revitalize homes in communities, villages, and cities across upstate New York, and attract new employers by working together, Republicans and Democrats. That's why we launched Broome's Next Chapter, an effort to get to business leaders and community leaders working together to establish a concerted economic development effort. It's why on the Agriculture Committee, I fought damn hard for upstate farmers so that we could create new drive down regulation and open up new markets for New York's farmers and make it more affordable to grow the agricultural industry. And it's why I'm very passionate about supporting those with substance use and mental health issues and those with disabilities. Because if we can provide help to people, meet them where they are and help them to get to where they need to be, we'll be bringing new folks into the workplace. We'll be able, there'll be more individuals who are able to sustain themselves and create their own definition of success. And so for me, there's little question that driving down costs, securing our border, and creating opportunity for the people I serve by listening to and learning from them remain the priorities.
And it was one of the questions I had was housing affordability. You mentioned concern across New York State, and you mentioned some things you have done. I know in your time in office, what have you been doing so far to help the housing crisis that we are facing in the New York Congressional 19th District?
So not only was I instrumental in ensuring low-income housing tax credits and housing development credits were built into appropriations bills that we adopted bipartisan. I led a bipartisan effort to ensure that those programs remain funded and that we were able to expand them. We also included and fought for low-income and disability housing credits in the tax package, bipartisan tax bill that we adopted this year in the House. But beyond that, been working on the Ag Committee to ensure that USDA continues to fund through community development block grants and home loans the ability to build new housing stock. And so I've always felt like, you know, as a member of Congress, you have two roles, right? You have to advocate in Washington for those kind of things that I just mentioned, right? We've got to drive down the cost of development. We've got to make it easier for those middle class and lower income and those with disabilities to access the credits necessary to make the purchase or to rent the homes. But then your other job is to be in the district working with the local leaders to create the environment for, in this case, for new housing development. And so I work hand in hand with cities, towns, and villages to help them rewrite their zoning code if they have them, streamline their master planning process, engage in early environmental reviews to make it easier to attract development and to move the revitalization of existing homes. We've got beautiful villages and city center, and we know that there are buildings that need to be and can't be restored. Well, towns, villages, and cities needs the support to make that happen. I do that hand in hand with local community leaders, housing organizations, in the municipalities. We also, over the course of the last year, have directed some $27 million in federal aid. These are your dollars, taxpayers sent into Washington. I have fought to bring them back. And we've directed $27 million last year. We'll direct another $35 million this year, to invest in infrastructure, water, sewer, streets, and sidewalks, because those are costs that are prohibitive for housing development. And so for me, having been a county executive and a mayor, having actually lived here, you know, when IBM left and the employers started to turn away, you know, my stepdad was one of the first to lose his job. We know what it's like to have them leave us. I mean, hell, my opponent left New York 20 years ago. God bless him, made millions of dollars in Washington, D.C. But for us, living in upstate New York, what we've seen is the costs go up and some of the opportunities go down. And so we are able to reverse that by working towns, villages, and cities, state, federal government, getting that all working together to grow more housing opportunities, right? We need more development and every rung of the housing ladder, from transition to low cost and low income housing, to middle class family and workforce housing, even to luxury housing. You need every rung of that ladder effectively having enough supply so that as people want to move up or down in the community or into the community, there's housing available to them. And the only way that happens is to get the federal government working with the state government, working with local governments. And I'm the only person running this race who knows how to do it because I've been doing it. And that's, for me, a principal focus. You got to drive down housing costs by making more housing available and ensuring that people who struggle the most have access to the resources to make the purchase.
You're listening to Representative Mark Molinaro in conversation with Patricio Rubio, part of our candidate interviews here on Radio Catskill. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more from this conversation.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
At a moment when the presidential campaign is all about how can we reduce prices on middle-class Americans, really at the heart of that inflation pain is the cost of housing.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on The Daily from The New York Times.
This is Cooper R. Grace, KG, right here in the place to be, WJFF Radio Catskills Music Emporium, Tuesday night, 7 to 9. 2 hours of great music, jazz, funk, blues. I got mellow grooves to help you unwind, exciting rhythms to help you cut loose. Join me Tuesday night for the Music Emporium, 7 to 9, right here on Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Welcome back to The Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole. We're continuing our candidate interviews tonight with New York's 19th Congressional District, starting with incumbent Representative Mark Molinaro. Let's return to his conversation with Patricio Rubio.
Another issue that's just facing the 19th Congressional District, especially I always talk, say here for Sullivan County, the environment is a key issue for many voters. What are your policies, or have you done, or any policies to protect and improve environmental quality in the 19th District?
Yeah, I'm a conservationist by heart. I grew up in the Hudson River Valley in upstate New York. I led the fight to clean the Hudson River, holding polluters accountable. By the way, bringing Republicans and Democrats together to hold the line and force the EPA to demand complete and total cleanup of the Hudson River. That is the same policy I hold for the other waterways and tributaries and aquifers that exist throughout the district. And so I have not only led on bipartisan efforts to ensure funding for the preservation, protection, and access to the Delaware River, Shenango, and ensuring that we have the ability and the dollars necessary to protect those waterways and those watersheds. I also have worked with local environmental groups to ensure that the municipalities have the tools to protect our natural environment. For me also, through my work on the Agriculture Committee, very dedicated to conservation measures within the Farm Bill, expanding those conservation measures. And what that means is giving tools to farmers and others preserve soil, to maximize irrigation, to drive down wasted water resources. I lead a bipartisan effort to confront climate change and climate resiliency as it relates to flooding from Sullivan County to Delaware to Broome County and all points in between. We have massive flooding concerns. And so I have bipartisan legislation that would provide the tools and dollars necessary to do the mapping and to invest in the resiliency necessary to preserve, to ensure and prevent flooding damage. And I serve on the bipartisan conservative climate caucus, where we have advocated for continued tax credits for alternate energy development. And have supported, by the way, even in this case, this administration's efforts to ensure that alternate energy manufacturers like the solar and the wind turbine developers that exist in Broome and in Tompkins County have the resources and the tax credits necessary to build out those manufacturing opportunities, those jobs, and of course on the technology here in America.
Right, Congressman, we're wrapping up here a little bit. You answered a lot of the questions I had already. I had questions about
both. I try to do that. I think when you ask a question, you should answer, which is why it's so fascinating to me that I've agreed to I think do 6 debates around the district, which I love doing. And my opponent, I think, has agreed to do 1. I'm not sure why. I just think you go out before the people, you answer the questions, be held accountable, yeah, and then encourage people to vote.
So in my last two questions here, since this is an election year for the president, are you supporting Donald Trump to be the next president and why?
I am. I think at the end of the day, I want an administration that understands we have to secure the border and drive down costs. And let me just tell you, this is what's troubling to me overall. I mean, I'm running against a person who 2 years ago celebrated dismantling border security, celebrated massive increases in federal spending. He ran an entire race that was entirely linked to and 100% supportive of the policies that the Biden administration has engaged in. I'll work with anybody. So like I said, I support the CHIPS and Science Act, support infrastructure investment, and worked with the administration on mental health programming. But there have been some egregious examples of bad policy choices my opponent has embraced. Now, all of a sudden, millions of dollars behind him from all over the country paying for TV ads. He suddenly is trying to convince people that he's all for border security. I just don't like this concept that you attempt to rewrite who you are in order to buy yourself a congressional seat. And so for me, I encourage people, you vote for who you think is going to serve this country best. In the 19th congressional district, I will always call balls and strikes, whether it's Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. I will speak out on behalf of the people I serve. It's why I'm the second most bipartisan member of Congress. It's why I will work with Republicans and Democrats from Aileen Guthrie in Sullivan County and Senator Schumer, where we work to get the high intensity drug trafficking designation for Sullivan, to Michelle Hinchey and Chris Tagg in Greene County, trying to ensure that we're making smart investments in agriculture. Don Lopardo out in Boone County. I'll work with anybody who's honest and earnest about solving the problems that face the people of upstate New York. And the decision we have before us for Congress ultimately is, do you want someone who is going to be your voice, right? For the last 20 years, I've worked with Democrats, but also held Democrats accountable. I've worked with Republicans, will also hold Republicans accountable, because I think it's so really, I think we are desperately in need of alternative voices in upstate New York and in the state, fighting back against single party rule, pushing back against policies that don't make sense, and ultimately bringing people together to mold the consensus necessary to drive down cost, drive down housing costs, make our communities more affordable, make our communities safer, and ensure that there's opportunity for people who work and struggle the hardest, those living with mental health concerns, those living with disabilities.
Why should voters vote for you over your opponent?
Well, listen, I spent every day of my adult life working and living in upstate New York. For the last 20 years, my opponent's worked more in Washington than I have, and frankly, has tried to rewrite his own personal history here. He supported dismantling border security. He supported mass amnesty, and the result has been 8.5 million people enter this country. He supported massive federal spending that resulted not only in waste, fraud, and abuse, and we know it, but the highest rate of inflation and shouldering the highest cost. I've been working these last 2 years to kind of reset, right? Voted for border security, received the endorsement of law enforcement in our communities, the endorsement of Border Patrol, because I know how important it is to provide for public safety. It's the fundamental responsibility of government. We cannot overlook the safety of our neighbors, friends, and families. And I've been working consistently, locally and in Congress, to drive down costs, both provide meaningful tax relief and make smart investments so that we can drive down costs. Everything from daycare to infrastructure. I want to be sure that we're making our communities more affordable and there's more opportunity for the people who live here. And I'll speak for people who don't often get to have their voices heard. It's why I've truly have worked across every aisle to ensure that we're reaching out to those with mental health and substance use disorder, working in Sullivan County to bring a treatment center, working in Broome County to drive dollars to bring recovery and treatment center dollar programming to Broome County. And it's why I care and speak out so passionately for those with intellectual, physical, and developmental disabilities. You know, everybody, regardless of ability, deserves opportunity. And the bipartisan legislation that I sponsored and our Think Differently initiative nationwide, working with lawmakers and foundations, is breaking down barriers and creating opportunities for those with disabilities. Everything from making it easier to access special education to jobs and transportation for adults with disabilities. And so I'm just somebody who, you know, like I said, I'll work with anybody to get the job done and solve the problems and face the people we represent. I care about this community. I live in it. I pay my taxes in it. I buy my groceries in it. And I want us to be respected, and I want our community to be more affordable. And I want to ensure that we are safe, secure at the border, provide for safety in our communities. My opponent doesn't get to rewrite his past. He was an advocate for dismantling border security, an advocate for driving up cost. And frankly, we've seen that playbook all before. We live in a beautiful part of the state. I mean, this is by far among the most beautiful parts of New York, with resilient people who care deeply about making a difference. I've been one of them for the last 48 years, working hard as an adult to try to make this community better and to make government work for the people it serves.
Congressman, thank you so much for joining me on the program. We're spoken to Congressman Mark Marlano, the congressman for the 19th District, running against Democrat Josh Riley in the 2024 election. Thank you so much for joining me on the program, and good luck this November.
Thanks. Be well.
Again, Congressman Mark Molinaro, representing New York's 19th Congressional District and seeking re-election. Tomorrow night here on the Local Edition, we talk to Representative Molinaro's challenger, Josh Riley. This is the second election that the two have faced off in. The seat that they're vying for is among the most competitive districts in the nation. And folks across the country are keeping an eye on New York's 19th, as it's one of the few upstate New York seats that helped put Republicans in the majority in the House 2 years ago. After we talk to Josh Riley tomorrow night, next up on Radio Catskills ongoing election coverage, it's the Catskills News and Mid-Hudson News Decision 2024 debate for the New York State 100th Assembly District, which will debut on Radio Catskill Friday morning at 11. We heard from both of these candidates last week here on the Local Edition. Those interviews are up now at WJFFradio.org. But on Friday, you'll be able to hear Paula Kay and Lou Ingracia Jr. debate the issues together in the same room. Here's a sample of what that's going to sound like Friday morning. Here's Lou Ingracia.
We have a lot of problems in this district that are driven by the status quo. We talk about majority, and I know Paula and her platform is people over politics. I understand. However, the majority of her supporters are saying the reason that she needs to go there is because she's in the majority. And a minority candidate in Albany is not going to get anything done. There's been editorials on that, things like that. And what I'll offer on that is, take a look around. Is New York State heading in the wrong direction, or are we heading in the right direction? I feel, and my supporters feel, that we're heading in the wrong direction. We talk about majority and the majority being able to bring things back. We are closing a prison in Sullivan County. There's two in New York State. With an over 20-year incumbent of the majority party, they're closing that prison in Sullivan County. So I would say it's time for a change. I would say it's time for fresh ideas. I would say it's a time for fresh vision. And I would say it's time for someone to go to Albany with real world subject matter expertise on the problems that are facing our district. And I know I'm that person, and I'm asking for your support on November 5th. Thank you.
And here's a clip of Paula Kay from the same debate.
Are there problems? Of course there are. There are problems throughout this country, and there are real problems in the 100th District. But I am the person who will be able to sit at the table and make those changes. And I will do that because I'm the person who's going to be listening to the residents of this district. I have spent, since February, I've gone throughout this district, and I've had meetings throughout this district with policy leaders, with heads of hospitals, with university presidents, with teachers, with union members, with carpenters, with working families, with nurses. They are our focus, and they need to remain that way. I do have bipartisan support because I am looking for rational solutions to the problems that face this district on an everyday basis. Nothing is going to change overnight, but we can make incremental changes to make people's lives better, whether it be, again, younger folks coming back who want to come back to the community that raised them, and older folks who want to age in place. We have to help all of our residents to realize a better life in the 100th District.
And again, that's our rebroadcast of the Catskills News, Mid-Hudson News, Decision 2024 debate for the New York State 100th Assembly District. We're playing that Friday morning at 11 on Radio Catskill. keeping you connected this election season. That's going to do it for the Local Edition tonight. I've been your host, Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me. We'll be back again tomorrow night to do it again and to bring you that interview with Josh Riley. Coming up at 7, we've got Mr. Kusar Grace and Music Emporium. But for now,